Well, good evening, everyone. It's Paul Hawkins of Vibe Podcasting. I hope you're all well. Oh, yes. Still discussing a little bit the whole sort of conversation that has mushroomed, really, from Pilgrim Chris Pilgrim in his original question around the way that people speak to him in certain ways according to what they think they know about him and so on and so forth. I'm really interested this time in responding to SN2N and what really a little bit about what he was talking about the why we judge as human beings, and that sometimes we have to, but what judgment really means and what it doesn't mean, perhaps a little bit more I'd like to explain, or at least what those mean and don't mean are for me anyway. So let's get on with it. Okay, so one of the funniest things, I thought it was quite funny anyway, when SN2N Simon was saying that in a way, as people, we as humanity, as human beings, we've had to learn to judge quite quickly sometimes, and this might to some extent contradict some of what I've already said, but in that I agree with him. So it's my favourite thing, and you can imagine this tiger, is the tiger in the undergrowth coming out. I'm just thinking, is that a tiger or is it a deer? So in other words, you know, am I going to be lunch if I'm not careful, or is this lunch for me? And so, you know, you have to make those decisions. And he said that he has to make quick decisions at work sometimes. And that got me thinking about times when I do judge. And I think I agree with Chris, really, in terms of what judgment looks like. The judge, not lest you be judged thing. I think that's about a lot of things. I'll come back to Simon in a minute. I think that's about a lot of things. I think I find, and I have found in church, and this isn't a criticism of churches per se, it's people. You know, there's a saying that if you find a perfect church, don't go to it, because then it won't be perfect because you're not, that kind of thing, you know. So that's a given, really, you know. But there is this thing about that people often are more judgmental when they're doing something that is judge-worthy. And that happens quite a lot. And you have to be careful, obviously, if you're in that position, because obviously you're shutting out anyone's ability to call you into question. And so I think there we're touching on accountability, aren't we? And I'm quite used to that. I've had a long history of accountability, whether it be work, of course you would expect that, but also sort of in church, really, as part of my church life. And I remember one of my friends and I, we used to be accountable to each other, you know, over certain things. And it wouldn't be fair at all to talk about that, because he's not here to talk about it. But there were things that we would say to each other. You'll be accountable to, you can, you know, and permission, you know, we'd say, well, okay, yeah, you want to be accountable to me, that's fine. I will remind myself, I will put in a reminder to ask you how you are with a certain thing, and that helped, you know, that helped him move forward in what he was trying to achieve. But yeah, judgment. I think if it feels wrong, and this is the thing, isn't it? You can become immune to what effect you're having by the way you behave if you're not careful. But I always think that your heart tells you, it really does, and I know when I'm being too judgmental. And again, not to talk too much about some of this, but I remember you know, talking to the pastor of the church I used to go to, And he's awesome. He's a really good man, and I'll always be able to say that. And some stuff I was going through, and he said to me, he said, when I get to heaven, I would rather God tell me off for being too gracious than for being too judgmental. Now, that isn't to say that he doesn't judge situations and have to make a call on it. You know, I mean, he's a pastor of a church of 750 people and growing. So, you know, there is accountability there. There is, he has accountability. People are accountable to him. And it works really well, I think. And so it doesn't mean that the gracious bit of God's grace, if you will, or mercy, if we talk about generally grace and mercy, because, you know, we can. grace and mercy doesn't mean that you don't judge a situation and you don't call it and you don't ask people to justify themselves sometimes. It just means that you are ready to be helpful to that person and hopefully cause a situation where, if we're talking about accountability, that person feels that they can work with you. If it is you that we're talking about, or work with one, or work with someone to resolve a thing, or to move forward, rather than, as I said, feeling judged, isolated, alienated, or whatever. And as I said, sometimes there are things to call, but it doesn't mean to say that you can't be gracious and you can't be merciful in the way you respond to that thing. So that's a certain type of judgment, I think, definitely. I think going back to Simon, there was the thing about judging a situation or a person or circumstance, having to do that quickly at work. Well, I mean, I would say that I have quite a lot of time. I do have an instinct for things, and I think part of that is that you build a database of feelings about certain, say, people. And I remember a couple of times at work, you know, where I've judged a situation where, you know, my initial response thought's been, oh, I'm not sure about that guy. I don't think he's going to be slippery with us. And don't know how much business we can do with this person. So I'm talking now in a completely secular situation now. And, excuse me, and I remember we started working with this guy, and it was one of our first big contracts, and there were these social enterprises that grew up out of nothing, really. You know, they were just there for the students to gain work placements and stuff, and nobody knew anything about contracts and stuff like that. And so I, you know, would write to these companies and say, "Hello, I don't get my letters from you in different formats, and I think I should. So can we possibly work with you?" And because I know that if I'm not getting mine, no one else is. You know, I've already made calls, and no one knows how to give me information in my in an accessible format. And that's how we started working, and with a lot of companies that are big companies that didn't have any policy as such towards accessibility at the time, back in the early 90s, really, believe it or not. And and we started working with this guy, and I said, "Oh, you know, I'm not sure about him. He'll mess us up. He'll do the, you know, I just don't trust him." And then I went out for a meal with him. He said, "Oh, you know, I'm in Birmingham. You know, do you want to go out for a meal in the evening?" I said, "Yeah, that'd be good." Got on really well with him, and I went back to work the next day and said, "Oh, you know, maybe he's all right after all." And my friend straight away said, "No, Paul, you call it. You know, you're right. You will be right. Let's just see." And then we suddenly lost the work out of the blue. He came to tell us we weren't having it anymore, and just a few other things that he was doing. And I said, you know what? And his colleague didn't even know, and it was all very embarrassing, the way that we were treated and stuff. Not to put too much more detail in that. But, I mean, I called it, basically, and I was right. And then there was another situation where I was asked to take someone around. It's a lot of years ago. I was asked to take someone on a visit. And then afterwards, it was someone who was coming for interview for a job. And I was asked by my boss at the time, you know, what do you think of that person? And I said, I wouldn't employ them. And they said, why? And I said, because there's something that just feels unsavoury about that person. And it might be, you know, can't put my hand on it, but I get the feeling that, it wouldn't be good for that person to be around, you know, the students and stuff. And I just don't think they're the right person, the right calibre. I don't know. There's something I don't like. And I said, and I know you can't take that and say, well, that's not really, you know, we're not going to employ them on that basis. But it was an informal conversation, and I was asked what I thought, and I said what I thought. And I said, but yeah, fair enough, do what you need to do. And the guy, you know, was employed. And then there was a lot of really bad things that went round with him, and in the end he had to leave. And I subsequently heard about what they were, and it turned out that I was right, you know, that my gut instinct was right. But was it a gut instinct? You know, I mean, how can I say, I'm trapping myself a bit here. I've been in care and stuff and in the past. And obviously I came from a very difficult background in terms of my parents. So I know maybe it's that I just know what certain things look like, because I've been subject to some of those things, and I'm not going to enlarge on that, and you're just going to have to wonder, you know. It's not really something I want to, because I don't want to focus on that thing on anything in particular. But what I'm saying is, I wonder if you build up a portfolio, a database of experience that informs judgment and perception to some extent, or whether it really is just instinct, you know. I don't, you know, because I think the decision to run from an animal because you think it's a tiger, or club it over the head because you might get your dinner, are probably quite basic instincts, really. you know, or if there's a situation in the street, you know, do you fight it and sort of say what the hell's going on and sort it out, or do you leg it, you know, fight or flight? I think there are those basic instincts, but I think this is a bit more. And as I said, you build up an experience database, an experience, portfolio of those things, and that might be why we can make those snap decisions, and maybe they're not so guttural after all. I don't know, but it's a very interesting one. Don't think I want to say any more on this. So we learned that, I think we did, that so Chris changed his avatar, but I think it seems that that's because he was going to change it anyway, and that's more reflective of who he is as a whole. And then I got thinking about this, and I got thinking, you know, how am I perceived? I mean, Chris sent me a direct message, and he gave me some idea how he perceived me. I think I can share this one thing, Chris. I hope you don't mind. But he sort of assumed that if anything, you know, Claire would have been... put it another way around, that I would have been the atheist. And he thought that of me. I don't know why. Maybe I would imagine that part of that, and he said he's going to think about it, so maybe he'll tell me. But I think some of that might be because actually, I don't know. I don't even know if I should speculate, because in speculating, I might be sort of saying something that Claire isn't. You know, I think Claire and I are both quite broad in our thinking, and we try to reason and understand and listen to people and all the rest of it. And you know, within some of the work that we do, you know, you need to do that, you need to try to make judgments based on what people are saying, but also what they might not be saying and what's behind it and all that kind of thing, and what's behind people's actions sometimes. Just stuff, nothing major, but just that kind of thing. So, but yeah, I'm not going to say then why I think that Chris sort of came to that conclusion. And it really doesn't matter. I'm absolutely intrigued. I'm intrigued as to what people think. Not so much of me, but I'm. It's interesting to have an idea of what someone thinks of one. I remember it was on Money Blog, and I think it's public. He was talking about me, I think, and he said stuff about me that I found fascinating, and it was wonderful to listen to, and thinking, oh, okay. And for the first time ever, I think, in my life, you know, someone had given a public view of me that was, and of course it was positive. You know, I don't know if we always expect reviews of us to be positive. You know, we don't lift each other up enough, in my opinion. and I think it was one of the most amazing things I've ever heard. And out of the blue, I didn't expect that. There was a context to it. I can't remember what it was now. But dropped my phone. So yeah, I think perception. It's a perception. It's a really interesting thing, and I want it in a way to be around either gut instincts or this portfolio/database, because you know, there's technology coming now, such as, you know, with face recognition and Google Glass and all that, where, you know, you'll be able to walk into a meeting and or just before you get to the meeting, you know, you'll know as soon as the email comes and tells you who's going to be there, who's going to be present at the meeting, your app of some sort will be able to go through, and it will be able to say, oh, this is so-and-so, and he's this and this and this, and show his Facebook profile, and he once got up to no good with at the office party and got a bit drunk and made a bit of a fool of himself by falling over the office table and being sick in the plastic flower vase, you know, and here's a photo of such and such where he was doing such and such, or, you know, yes, he's into such and such, or she's into such and such, and you'll suddenly know all this stuff about someone. And I don't know what that would do to us as people, too much information about someone that's just given to you on a plate before you actually get to know them. Would you make different decisions that you would have done had you not just had to learn about that person yourself? And I think there's merit in stopping and learning and understanding and appreciating people. Yeah. I've given myself lots of food for thought, so hopefully I've given you guys some food for thought. And I think that's all I want to say for now. So I will say my goodbyes, and as Chris said, I keep talking about Chris because he brought all this up to begin with, but it's been fascinating. It is fascinating having this discussion. We should I don't know if you can manufacture these things. I don't think you can, but it would be good to have more discussions with and get the community sort of engaging and interested again in the community that it is. Audio Boom. Oh, yes. It's Paul Hopkins, VR Podcasting. I'll speak to you all soon. Thanks for listening. I hope I've made some sense. If I haven't, just ignore me. It's pretty easy. Just flip me on to something else. If I've made any sense, then fantastic. I'm glad you thought so. Speak to you all soon. Bye.